I think it helps maybe a little bit in understanding God's goodness. And so what I'd like to do tonight is take a portion of our time together, and I want to just read you a whole bunch of scriptures and allow them to kind of speak for themselves as to the goodness of God and perhaps cement in our minds a little bit better what this attribute of his goodness means. But I want you to do this as I read through these verses. I want you to listen for other attributes that are associated with his goodness, or perhaps listen for expressions of God's goodness, okay, in these verses. Okay, so just listen for that. Maybe even write yourself a little note as you hear one or you make those connections. And then we'll kind of come back to that. Okay, so here we go. I got a lot of them. You don't need to look them up, okay? If you want to reference them, that's fine. But don't try to keep up with me on this one. Nehemiah chapter 9, we'll start there, verse 25. And they captured fortified cities and a rich land and took possession of houses full of all good things, cisterns already hewn, vineyards, olive orchards, fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in your great goodness. That sounds like fun, right? Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. And he said, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I am to be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 25, verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Psalm 25, 8, good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. Psalm 31, 19, oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. Psalm 65, verse 4, blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house and the holiness of your temple. Titus 3, verses 4 and 5, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. Hebrews 6, verse 5, to have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the age to come. Jumping back into the Psalms here a little bit. Psalm 107, verse 9, for he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Psalm 118, 29, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 119, verse 39, turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Psalm 119, verse 68, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Psalm 135, verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All right, last one. James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change, due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Okay, so just a little feedback from you. Any words that you picked up that you associated with the goodness of God in those verses? If you heard one, think of one, wrote one down, just say it. Abundant. Okay.
Mercy.
Yep.
Teaching.
What?
Teaching.
Yeah. Good. Steadfast. What was the other one?
Endures.
Loving kindness, yeah.
Often associated with a sovereignty or...
Yes. Okay.
Just.
What's that?
Just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could kind of go on and on, right? I mean, some of the ones I wrote down was, it was connected with his presence, with his glory, with his mercy, with his love, with his forgiveness, with his word, with his blessing, with his holiness and with his patience, and all the ones that you added to that list as well. I guess the other thing I would just say is that God's goodness is also displayed. It's just, and I would just say it's displayed in two main areas that are very visible, I guess. The first is that his goodness is displayed in his creation. Okay, and I think of Genesis 1, verse 31, that says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very, what, good, right? And so, the goodness of God, I think, is seen in how the whole universe is held together and how it works. I think it's seen in how he sustains life on this planet. I think it's seen in how complex my body functions in a way for me to breathe and to have knowledge and to maintain knowledge and to love other people and to have relationships and to enjoy food and to work with the gifts that God's given me and to enjoy all kinds of blessings of beauty and to see and to enjoy mountains and flowers and, well, you don't get to see mountains out here, but you see what I mean. We can go on and on about all the blessings that God has given us and that we can enjoy. And then, of course, his goodness is seen perhaps in nothing greater than through his divine mission of reconciliation, where Jesus came from the glories of heaven to become a man, to die on the cross for sinners like you and I, to bring redemption and forgiveness and freedom and eternal life for those of us that all of us were destined for eternal judgment. And, of course, we would summarize all of that and we would call it the gospel, right? And the gospel means what kind of news? It's good news, yeah. So there we see the goodness of God. So I would suggest to you that that God's goodness is really an attribute that I think umbrellas many other aspects of who God is and what God has done. We would have a very hard time here tonight overstating or exaggerating the goodness of God. We could certainly do that with a lot of things, but we could not do that with the goodness of God. I know this is not good English, but God is gooder than you think. All right? If you want to know what good is, you look to God. Jesus told the rich young man in Mark 10 verse 18, he says, no one is good except God alone. And of course, he didn't mean that human beings are incapable of doing good things or possessing a relative goodness, but he meant that only God is in himself originally and infinitely and immutably good. He is good in the highest degree. And so his goodness can never increase more than it is. His goodness can never decrease more than it is. Now, the caution in all of this is this. Don't allow your feelings and don't allow your circumstances and don't allow the enemy to somehow convince you into thinking that God is not good. good things come from a good God. But here's where we need to be careful. We have to be careful in understanding that God's goodness is not merely seen in what we see as good things. Okay, so for example, good things that, I guess things that we would put in the category of good would be things like our children and our friendships and our job and our health and our and an answered prayer and even perhaps certain possessions that God's provided for us and the many other blessings that we enjoy. And certainly that all falls in the category of good. But I think the thing we have to realize is that even in the absence of those things, God is still good. And that's where it sometimes becomes difficult and things get a little fuzzy for us in the finiteness of who we are as people, and always maybe believing completely that God is good. So how do we see God's goodness in those seasons, in the seasons perhaps where we've lost something, or we're in the season of a trial in our life? Well, I think we see God's goodness because, even in those moments, because God is using trials for our good, and he is using trials for his good purposes. And of course, the famous verse, right? Romans 8:28, and we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, okay, for those who are called according to his purpose. And so if you understand and kind of think beyond the circumstances of what we're going through, we can, and perhaps even in the trials that we're going through, we can still see God's goodness, not only in his purposes, but we can see his goodness in the fact that he is with us through the trial, that he is comforting us in the midst of the trial, that he's strengthening us through the trial, that he's giving us peace even in the midst of the trial, as we bring our concerns or anxieties or whatever to him. We can also see his goodness and how he matures our faith and develops our character as a result of the trial. Okay, James chapter 1 talks about that. Beginning of Romans chapter 5 talks about that. Charles Spurgeon said, and I quote, "In the greatness of our troubles, there may often be space for the greater display of the goodness of God." And I think that's really true. And perhaps we maybe see the goodness of God better in the trials than in the category of the things that we consider to be just good things. Let me take all of that and maybe conclude with this question, and I'll respond to it with just a couple things. What should then our response be to the goodness of God as his people? I think there's two main things that I see. Well, there's three. I'll get to that third one after, but I think two immediate things that come to mind. One is, I think, first of all, we need to give thanks to God. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Give thanks to God, for he is good." I don't know if we need to really break that down more than what it says. Give thanks to God, for he is good. That in itself is reason to give thanks, because all that we have, all that we are, and especially as believers, is because of who God is. And so we are to worship him for that and give thanks to him for that. The second thing that we need to do, I think, comes out of the verse of Psalm 34, verse 8, where it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." How do you taste and see God's goodness? Well, I think the answer is you pursue God. You trust God. You take refuge in God. Why? Because God is good. That's what it's telling us to do. And so if you want to see and if you want to experience more of God's goodness, you have to pursue God, trust God, and take refuge in God. Now, you can do those things by tasting and seeing what his word says. And as you taste and see what his word says, you begin to grasp more and more the goodness of God. And so drink and taste what it says. Drink and taste the promises of God. Drink and taste the character of who God is. Drink and taste what he's done for you. Drink and taste what new life in Christ is, what forgiveness is, what grace is, what mercy is, what love is, what your identity in him is, and meditate on those truths that encompass the goodness of God. And I think that's certainly one way that we can do that, and I think the more we do that, the more we see the goodness of God. The other way that we see the goodness of God is by running to him in prayer. And of course, that's a very tangible way for us to be trusting God. And as we trust him more through prayer, we certainly will see more and more of his goodness. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says, If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Isn't that a great verse? 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. I mean, that's, again, it's exhibiting God's goodness. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so here's how we should respond to that. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So listen, God loves to hear from his people, and God loves to bless his people with his goodness. And we can certainly experience that goodness then as we go to him in prayer. Last point of application I would just add is this, is that if you've experienced God's goodness, in other words, I would say, if you're a Christian, because if you're a Christian, you've experienced God's goodness. And you've experienced God's goodness in ways that are greater than anybody else on the planet. Okay, and we could talk about that, but I think you understand what I'm saying. In any case, if you're a Christian and you've experienced God's goodness, which goes together, we are to then extend God's goodness to others. Okay, and it's really what Jesus is talking about. When you get into the Sermon on the Mount, which we've been going through here in the last number of months, for those of us that are part of the kingdom of God, we're to exhibit his goodness in caring for others and giving to those in need around us. It's exhibiting patience in love. It's offering forgiveness and grace. It's going the extra mile and being salt and light. It's sharing the good news of God's goodness with those that don't know him. And so it's sowing seeds of goodness that reflect the goodness of God. And so I want you to just think as you enter a new week this week, what are ways that I can sow seeds of God's goodness to those around me? Or perhaps maybe make that a prayer and say, Lord, how can I sow seeds of goodness to reflect your goodness to those around me? I'll just close with this quote from A.W. Tozer, who said, with the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, I like that, with the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? Surely we are the most favored of all creatures. And that, I think, is a great definition of God's goodness for us. And so, as we go to the Lord's table, I guess I would just go back to the one point, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Well, we have something very specific to give thanks for, don't we, as his people. As God has exhibited his goodness to us in going to the cross and dying for our sins and shedding his blood that we might have new life, and that we might have an abundant life and that we might have eternal hope. Is there anything more greater than that that we can give thanks for as his people? And so let's just take a moment and reflect on his goodness as it relates to what he's done in us and in our lives, and then we'll participate together. So let's just take a moment of quietness and reflect on that for a moment, and then I'll pray, and then we'll pass out the elements.